OU professor Clyde Snow has been called one of the most famous forensic anthropologists in the world today. His work has led him from South America to Yugoslavia, and he's even been called upon to search for the remains of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Jerry Wofford sat down with Dr. Snow to discuss his time in Argentina working with the mass graves of innocent civilians.
My name is Clyde Collins Snow, and I am a forensic anthropologist, which is the subspecialty of anthropology which deals with usually skeletal remains. And in my case, though, it also includes a lot of work that I've done pretty much all over the world in the past 20 or so years, dealing with such things as mass graves in which we find the victims of war crimes or human rights violations, crimes against humanity.
How'd you get started doing that kind of work?
I started out in that phase of the work in 84, right after the Argentine dictatorship that had ruled the country for several years had been deposed, and they had, we use the term, disappeared many thousands of Argentine men, women, and children. I went down there, and it was obvious when I got there that they needed a lot of technical help. And I said, well, I'd stay another week or two if maybe I could recruit a team of their expert. The long shot, though, was I couldn't find anybody among the professionals. So finally, after a couple of weeks, I just said, well, you know, I don't think you're going to be able to do this, and I'm going to have to get back to Oklahoma. I came back to my hotel about three or four nights before I was scheduled to leave, and there was a little group of, most of them were anthropology students, five or six, and a couple of medical students. But the word had gone out in the student grapevine, you know, that this old gringo needed some help. You know, offered to take him out to the steakhouse around the corner. You know, we'd have dinner and we could talk it over a little. And so we went over and we talked it over, and I told him, you know, this kind of work, look, first place, you don't have the experience. Secondly, it can be dangerous, especially if the military comes back in. Well, it's dirty work, you know, and Argentines are very fastidious people. And you know, I said, you know, you're going to be out in cemeteries, and you're going to get your fingernails dirty. And you know, I finally said, you know, and it could be depressing because, you know, they were, figuratively anyway, the younger brothers and sisters of the disappeared generation. Many of them knew people had been disappeared. And I said, you know, if you hang around in morgues long enough, I can tell you from experience, sooner or later you'll run into somebody you know. After dinner, they said, well, look, we're going to talk it over, and we'll be back tomorrow to let you know. But I went back to the hotel that night, and there they were. And they said, yeah, we talked it over. Sounds like a pretty good deal. You know, when can we go to work? We'll give it a shot. And I figured, well, maybe the first exhumation, they'll see what it really entails. But there was a judge who had indicated that he had a case of a young woman who had been disappeared out in a suburb of Buenos Aires. He thought she was buried in the cemetery out there. And I got in touch with him, and we had about 3 days to get this done. A couple of days later, we went out to the cemetery, exhumed this woman, took her bones back to a local hospital, cleaned them up, went through the whole procedure, dictated our findings to the judge. We were able to get her identified with dental records. She had been killed with a single close-range gunshot wound to the back of the head, which is the typical way people were executed down there by the death squads. And I had to leave the next day. I was scheduled out. I came back to Oklahoma, and a couple of weeks later, they got in touch with me, and they said, we'd like to really form a team. Could you come down and help us? So that's how I wound up my 2 weeks, and you know, wound up as being 2 years before it was all over. The spring of 1985, after we worked down there for several months, they had the 9 generals and admirals, the so-called juntas, that had ruled Argentina during that time. And they had brought them to trial. They worked things out so that even though I was a foreigner, I could give expert witness in court. And so I gave the testimony. By that time, of course, we'd done many, many disappeared. We decided not to try to present all of our cases in the 2 or 3 hours that I would have, but just to focus on a couple of them that were fairly typical. And one of them was a young male, and the other, her name was Liliana Pureja, and she was fairly typical also of a very special class of desaparecidas. We could tell her story to the judges. Later on, I got to know one of the judges, and he said it was they had been listening to for several months of, you know, documents and lawyers and you know, kind of dry evidence. And this was the first time that they were, because I could show color slides, and I had, you know, in fact, the last two slides I showed, one was her reconstructed skull that we'd glued together back from the fragments, and then the last one was a photograph of her, and she was a very beautiful girl. And I used that to point out the last two slides, you know, that the skeleton had been identified as Liliana and told her story. And he said that, you know, this is the first time that the judges and the defendant sitting behind me there been confronted with visual evidence of the victims themselves. And
so when you're going through and looking at all these graves, and it's pretty apparent that these people did that, and everyone pretty much knows it. Do you have to be kind of objective when you're looking through those?
Yeah, that's very important because, we're forensic scientists, and we have to look at our evidence and treat it, you know, objectively. We can't go in, you know, we're not on one side or another. If we do, if a forensic scientist is swayed too much in one direction or another, first place, his findings are apt to be biased, and he'll lose his credibility. And very often, you know, I am asked, and, you know, how long have you been a human rights advocate? And I have to say, you know, I am not a human rights advocate. I am an expert, not an advocate. We'll find the evidence. We'll present it, you know, even-handedly to both sides. They can have our reports. They can look them over. They can, if they want to call us as witnesses, they can. But it doesn't make any difference which side calls us. They're going to get the same story because that's what forensic scientists are supposed to do. The advocates are the lawyers on each side, and there, it's up to them. Once they get the evidence, then the advocates on either side can argue the case. But our work has to be, and that's hard to maintain that, because we see some terrible, terrible things. But you learn how to handle it.
Did it take you a while at first to kind of, especially you and the students who've never seen stuff like that before?
Yeah, by that time, of course, I had been doing this kind of work for years, and, you know, I'm not, I don't want to say callous, but, you know, I can handle it. The students, when they first started out, they had some emotional problems, and for example, would be in the morgue or out in the graveyard, especially when you see a child, you know, with a gunshot wound, or 2 or 3 children with gunshot wounds, because they would kill the kids also down there. And, you know, they'd break out in tears. And finally, you know, I was kind of brutal with them. I said, look, you know, when you're in this morgue or in this laboratory or out in this cemetery, you have to wear your scientist, your forensic scientist hat, and handle this, I hate to use the word coldly, but that's the one that always comes to mind, and objectively, scientifically. And if you need to cry, you know, you can cry at night. And that became a kind of a mantra for them. They, and I can guarantee you there were a lot of tears shed in Buenos Aires during, at night during that period. But once they learned this, you know, the proper role in that our reports have to be right straight down the middle, dealing with the evidence alone. That's what's made them famous throughout the world.
Snow and his team revolutionized the way forensic science evidence is presented in courts. His work in other countries, from Yugoslavia to Ethiopia to Iraq, has led to the conviction of many of the most brutal war criminals in our generation. He still keeps in contact with the members of his Argentina team and still works with them around the world. For Assignment Radio, I'm Jerry Wofford.